Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Cuando vas a JCPenney a comprarle un regalo a papá con tu cupón de 20% extra, no solo le estás comprando un regalo a papá con 20% extra, le estás demostrando que su esfuerzo como papá valió la pena. La prueba está en el recibo. Sí, es JCPenney. Cupón válido hasta el 15 de junio en selección de estilos. Aplican algunas exclusiones. Detalles en la tienda o jcp.com.
Ambulance, what's full address of the emergency?
Hi. I need an ambulance.
Quickly,
my house.
Quickly.
Okay, what's the address?
It's Lander.
Okay, is the patient awake?
No. What, my friend.
Okay, is he breathing?
No, he's not. He's dead.
I'm Emma Kenny. Welcome to Bang to Rights, a deep dive crime podcast which takes you through some of the most heinous crimes the world has ever seen. So let's get on with today's case. So Dylan Thomas and William, known as Will Bush, they had a bond that really did span a long period of time. You know, it was a decade. They were best friends since the age of 13. They'd literally grown up side by side. They actually became housemates. And to the people from the outside looking in who knew them, people felt they were inseparable. They were really close. But the thing about from the outside looking in is we only ever get to see a snapshot of what's real. And the truth is, behind closed doors, Dylan was battling something that was far more insidious than anybody could have realised. Then in 2023, I would say the cracks really began to show. Dylan's behaviour started to become far more erratic. In fact, at one point, he attempted to scale the walls of Buckingham Palace. And this, for me, is the sliding doors moment. It's the part that punctuates the start of what can only be described as a much darker descent. And this isn't to do with a guy who's just eccentric. And he was a little bit eccentric as far as Dylan Thomas was concerned. There is an eccentricity there. But I would say, from my position on a mental health level, this is more of a cry for help. And it's a cry for help that really sadly and tragically goes unanswered. And that mental decline basically culminates in the unthinkable, which is what we are going to talk about today. And as you all know, just to caveat this, at the very beginning of this video, because it's really important to me to do so. I've worked in mental health for 2 decades. I am an advocate for the mentally ill and people who are struggling with mental health issues, because we all go through periods where we struggle mentally. I don't care who you are, at some point in your life, you will go through a period where you struggle with your mental health to some degree. You could not get a bigger advocate for the mental health community than myself. And you all know my father killed himself. So 6 years ago, I went through the worst experience of my life because my father suffered from psychosis and I couldn't save him. And it's something that will stay with me for the rest of my life, that I could not save that man. I do not blame anyone who is mentally ill for their situation. It's as simple as that. And I do not mean for 1 minute when I cover this case that I believe mentally ill people are going to murder people. That's just not true. It doesn't play out in reality. There's a tiny minority of individuals who hurt other people when they are mentally unwell. But there are occasions when we can look at the chain of causation, we can look at the pen portrait of possibility, and we can gather from that that if interventions had played out, potentially we could get another outcome. What I don't want people to go away from this video thinking is that I believe somebody who's mentally ill is a threat to other people's lives. It's just not substantiated in evidence whatsoever. So let's talk about the friends. So William Bush, Will, lovely young man, absolutely salt of the earth young man, born on February the 12th, 2000. So it's only 2025 now. And that just gives you an insight to the youth involved in this case, because at 25, you are still a young person, aren't you? You're growing up, you're becoming that adult, but everything's about possibility and potential. Nothing's set in stone at that point. He had parents, John and Liz. He also had 2 older siblings. So he had a brother called Alex and a sister called Caitrin. What can I say about William at school? He's just that kid. He's really popular. He's athletic, he's a keen rugby player, he's a golfer, And there was just something when I looked at pictures of him that said he's strong, he's got that solid build. He also had a level of privilege in his life, so he attended a private boarding school, Christ College in Brecon Powys, which is an absolutely gorgeous private boarding school, and it's a nice area of Wales as well. I think lots of people have different ideas about what boarding school represents. Some of us are really positive about it because at the end of the day, people are given lots of opportunities that ordinary people like myself wouldn't have given. But I also feel that sometimes it can be a little bit of a problem on an attachment basis, because being away from your family for long periods of time, and you are when you're at private boarding school, that can compromise you on an emotional level. But everybody has their own opinion on these things. And it's at this point during his education, when he's 13, that he meets Dylan Thomas. Now, Dylan Thomas is kind of the opposite to some degree. He's born on June the 30th, 2000. He was more reserved than Will. Will's more of the extrovert and Dylan is more of the introvert. He comes from an incredibly wealthy family, a successful family and a very close family, and they owned the company Peter's Pies. Now, that actually began as Thomas's Pies in the 1950s, and it was based in the South Wales Valley. It actually changed to Peter's Pies in the 1970s, and Dylan's grandfather, he'd actually inherited the company, then sold it in 1988, and he was worth an estimated £230 million, which, just going to throw it out there, is more money than winning the Euro Millions in the UK and Europe. You know, that's a lot of...
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Money, £230 million. So that, of course, means that Dylan Thomas himself is going to be set to inherit a fortune from this. Now, he had at school two or three friends, but Will was his absolute best friend. He was his ride or die. They'd actually often go on holiday together. It was the Thomas family who would take them, but Will would go with Dylan. And it just demonstrates the intimacy of that friendship. You know, they were incredibly close. Now, after they finished school, Will goes to university. Thomas didn't actually attend university, so instead he starts working as a computer programmer. And that makes sense, because at the end of the day, if you're a coder, you want to get into the industry as quickly as possible. And people are desperate constantly for coders. It's a very lucrative job to get involved in. And obviously, if you've got the acumen to do that straight from school, well, with respect, that's going to make sense. He actually lived in a house named T. Matthew in Clandaff, and that was owned by his grandfather. So he does have this privilege in the fact that a house has been provided for him to some degree. Now, in September 2021, Will actually moves in with Thomas in his grandfather's house. And William does, as you would imagine, he pays Thomas rent. And apparently the two just continued this really close relationship. They spent a lot of time together. So they'd go out together in the evening, or they'd play golf together. Now, Thomas couldn't drive, but Will could. And that meant that he'd often give him lifts if he needed to go somewhere. And Will was also really helpful for Thomas, because Thomas had a dog and he needed help looking after him, and Will helped him do that. So again, this is a really good friendship. Now, after William graduates successfully from university, he also secures a job. He gets a job as a business rate surveyor. So this lad's full of ambition, isn't he? And he's one of those people that you can just tell people like, because he's just succeeded in every area that he goes so far. He's also got a lovely long-term girlfriend called Ella Jeffries. But he gets into work and he finds it super stressful. And as a reaction physiologically to that stress, he starts suffering from migraines and nausea, which is obviously something that is going to pull him down completely emotionally, psychologically, and also physically. And in September 2023, he ends up going on sick leave due to this, and rightly so, because obviously it's not a good fit for him. The very fact that he's declined so awfully physically demonstrates he shouldn't be in that situation. Now, in October 2023, this is after about a month off work, he decides, I don't want to go back. And that's clearly the right decision. And at this point, Thomas stops charging him rent because obviously he's unemployed. So again, there's a real empathy there. There's a real friendship there. There's a real connection there. There's an understanding that Will's going through some difficulties and Thomas is extending the help that he requires. Now, this is really helpful. And Will begins to make some really positive plans for the future. First of all, he wants to move in with his lovely girlfriend, Ella. They've got everything to live and hope for. And they're young love and everything's about that potential. Also, he starts searching for jobs and actually he was going to start another less stressful position in the new year. So that just gives a snapshot of the kind of person Will is. He is somebody that has had certain struggles, but he knows how to deal with those. He then knows how to achieve change. And obviously, he's in a good relationship with this young woman, and he's thinking about a really positive future. And that's exactly what he should have been rewarded with. But I wouldn't be telling you this case if that had been what plays out, sadly. Now, on November the 6th, 2023, this is where I would say Dylan Thomas's mental health really starts to obviously spiral. And I kind of talked about that at the top of this video, because Thomas essentially tries to climb the 14-metre fence of Buckingham Palace. Now, for those of you who don't know what Buckingham Palace is, it's where essentially people believe the Queen resided and the King resides, but actually it's a big tourist spot in the UK. It is indeed a palace. It's where they have the changing of the guard and all of the things that are associated with those regal events. And it represents something very, very English and very, very British in the UK, because like I said, it's where the monarchy is kind of seen to exist. And if you do anything that is problematic around the area, you can find yourself in super hot water. Bear in mind, there are armed police everywhere. And if you do not abide by what they are saying, well, things can end badly for you. So when people see that he's trying to scale this fence, the armed police actually say, get on the floor. Understandably, they need to make sure that he's not a threat, that he's not armed. But he genuinely doesn't take any notice. He just carries on trying to scale the fence. Now, at this point, they just take it to physical. He's rugby tackled to the ground. And the reason the police officer did this, he said, listen, if I hadn't have actually rugby tackled him to the ground, we'd have shot him. So he knew that this was a life or death situation, and he acted in that respect to try to save Dylan Thomas. And he realised at this moment in time, it's clear that Thomas isn't well. So Thomas gets arrested. And unbelievably, when he's being arrested, he actually says to the officers, I'm over now. Do you mind showing me around the palace anyway? So completely delusional in his processing of that particular event. Now, his reasoning for actually scaling and getting over that particular wall is he wanted to apparently explore the energy fields between Buckingham Palace and Cleopatra's Needle. So again, you're instantly being brought into this delusional state, because of course, in reality, you can't differentiate between the energy fields of Buckingham Palace and Cleopatra's Needle. You can't do that. You know, you're not some kind of human energy responder, but it suggests that he is in a mental delusional state. Now, he leaves prison on bail. This is after his arrest. So I would say at this moment in time, we know that Thomas isn't necessarily in his right mind. But despite this, and this is what is so broken as far as I'm concerned about the UK system, is he didn't get any mental health treatment after this. Now, if you're seeing somebody who clearly is going through some kind of psychotic break, they need some kind of assessment and they certainly need some kind of treatment. And it's a massive red flag that that doesn't play out. Now, Will and Ella, they are aware that this has happened, but his family don't know that this incident had occurred. And I think we can all agree that if Dylan Thomas's family had found out at that point that he was going through some kind of delusional state, they would have applied every possible resource to make him heal. And it's so sad that they weren't informed. And I appreciate that when you're over 18, people do not breach your confidentiality on the whole. So it makes sense that they didn't speak to the family about what had played out. But what a shame. Because like I said, if anybody could have applied the resources to Dylan Thomas to help his mental health issues, well, his family would have been there immediately. Now, on December the 23rd, 2023, so just coming up for Christmas, the two friends had basically made separate plans for the Christmas holidays. Thomas was leaving to spend Christmas at his auntie's house, and he was going to then return on Boxing Day to pick up his dog. Will was going to Brecon the next morning to spend Christmas with his family. Will and Ella actually went Christmas shopping on the 23rd. So they've all got the plans. Everyone knows what they're doing. And it's one of those times of year that everything's exciting and everybody feels positive on the whole. But it isn't going to play out where Thomas is concerned. So after Will and Ella have been shopping, they come back to the house. They say goodbye to Thomas. And before Will leaves, he hugs Thomas, he says Merry Christmas, and they basically have these really pleasant exchanges. Now that evening, Will drops his girlfriend off at her house because, as we know, when you're young, you tend to go home to your separate abodes and spend Christmas with your families. And then he ends up spending the night by himself at T. Matthew. Now Thomas, on the other hand, he goes out for a family meal and he spends the night at his grandmother Sharon's house. But he does confide in his grandma that he's struggling a little bit that evening. He said he was lonely. He says he's depressed. And I think when you get to certain ages and stages in your life, because you're brought up with such a blueprint of how you're told life's meant to be, so you're meant to go to school, you're meant to go to college, maybe university, get a job, meet a partner, buy a house, get married, have children. By the age of 25, you start thinking to yourself, am I doing something wrong if some of those variables haven't actually...
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Been attached to your foundation. And it's such a myth that people have their lives sorted at that point. But when you're looking at your friends in relationships and you feel that they're moving forward in a different way to you, particularly if they're going to leave living with you to go and be with their partner, you can understand that that creates that sense of urgency within others, which is, why is it not happening for me? And loneliness, even though obviously Dylan Thomas is surrounded by people who love him and surrounded by people like Will and Ella who like him a great deal, loneliness is just such a personal experience. It really doesn't matter who's surrounding you, it doesn't matter how many friends you apparently have, you can still intrinsically feel that emotion, and it's incredibly difficult to experience. So the fact that he's talking to his grandma and saying, look, I feel lonely and depressed, that's a real positive because it means he's trying to actually analyze and also externalize some of those challenging feelings. And certainly his grandmother would have been a very lovely person to talk to about that and a supportive individual to talk to about that. Now that night, he ends up sending Snapchat messages to Will, and he wants to know whether Will's left a key for him. Will replies at 11:04 p.m. saying, yes, sorry, lad, only just seen my phone. I'm still here. Now, on December the 24th, 2023, this is 2:24 a.m., Thomas messages Will saying, what time are you leaving tomorrow? Lots of question marks. But this is really early hours of the morning, so I'm not sure why he would expect a response. But nonetheless, at 2:42 a.m., he sends another message saying, I need to see you before you leave the house tomorrow. Let me know what time you go. He then, after sending these messages, makes a number of bizarre searches on his phone. These include veins and arteries in the wrist, and reap what you sow. So these are sinister searches and also really troubling searches. He also loads an image which actually demonstrates whereabouts the jugular vein is located. He also searches for taxes. And then by 5:37 a.m, Will's actually awake and he replies saying, leaving a bit later on, mate. Now at 9 a.m, Thomas goes and speaks to his grandma. He says, listen, I really struggled sleeping last night. She's obviously concerned about him, so she makes him a drink. She actually gives him a sleeping tablet. And
while she makes the drink, Thomas is stood outside on a balcony. And even though that sounds quite idyllic, going and standing outside, looking at the beautiful scenery on a balcony, the truth is the weather is appalling. So it's not in context with a behaviour that's normal, because why would we be stood out there in really awful weather? So she understandably is a bit concerned about this, particularly in light of what the conversations have been between her and him. So she says to him, come inside, you need to get some rest. But shortly after leaving him in his room, because obviously he's had a sleeping tablet now, so she wants to make sure that he gets that rest, Thomas actually appears in the kitchen and says, listen, I really do need to go back. I need to get home. I need to look after my dog. And again, for his grandma, this would be contextually. He does have a responsibility of a dog and he's worried about the dog. So, of course, she's going to oblige, wanting to help him. So between 9:53 and 10:20 a.m., another thing that occurs is that Thomas carries out internet searches, and those internet searches seem to suggest he's having some suicidal ideation. When we talk about suicidal ideation, it can manifest in moments, or it can be a very long-standing issue where somebody is constantly, perpetually thinking about taking their life. But it sounds as if he is struggling at this moment in time with his own being, and he's considering exiting to some degree. Now, at 10:22 a.m., he actually messages Will and says he's still home. And Will says, yeah, I'm home. He also made a phone call to Will. But the thing is that none of us will ever find out what was actually said during that conversation. But it does seem like Thomas is pretty desperate for Will to remain at the home so that he can see him. Now, at 10:41 a.m., his grandma, Sharon, she drives Thomas back to T. Matthew, because clearly she's an incredibly supportive person. During that car ride, she did notice that his behaviour was a little bit odd. He seemed jumpy. He seemed wound up. But again, he's already explained to her he's been struggling with some loneliness, some depression. He's also been up apparently all night. So you can absolutely contextualise those behaviours. He's a little bit jumpy because he's anxious. He's a little bit wound up because he's exhausted. Now, when she questions him, he says, look, I just need to take my dog out, but everything else is fine. And let's be clear, if you're in a situation where you love somebody desperately and they look like they're struggling, all you are hoping for is for them to say, look, it's going to be fine, just having a bad day. Because nobody wants to believe there's a long-standing issue that's going to play out with this person psychologically. No one wants to believe that they can't reach that person and make them feel better. It can be really overwhelming when you're around people who are struggling with their mental health, because you want to fix it and you don't know how. So when they're like, oh, it's okay, I'm okay, you kind of just accept that, because that bias of just wanting to believe in the best is going to usually overwhelm the reality of what's playing out. Now, when they arrive, it's around 11:17 a.m. Thomas says to her, I'm going to be back in 10 minutes. And that grandma, I cannot describe the way I feel towards her, the way I feel about what she had to endure, genuinely, because this is somebody who clearly adores this boy, is willing to go out of her way for this boy, who believes in the best of this boy, and rightfully so, because that's how parents and grandparents should be. But she could have not, for even a millisecond, have imagined the chain of events that were going to follow. Now, I'm going to go through how this has obviously been heard at trial, because the chain of events only two people really are aware of. But what I do know is, taking from the trial the information from the forensic scientist, the pathologist, from witnesses of fact who were actually in the vicinity, this is how I'm going to talk about what played out as far as it is concerned and delivered to the court, and as far as it makes sense when we actually explore this case. So Thomas gets out of the car, obviously saying to his grandma, I'm going to be back in 10 minutes. But what actually happens is he goes into the kitchen and he grabs a flick knife. He also grabs a large kitchen knife. And then he goes up to Will's bedroom. Now, bear in mind, Will was stood facing away from the door. He was near a bean bag. At this point, completely out of the blue, Thomas attacks him from behind. So Will has got no option here to actually defend himself, because he's being stabbed in the back. And what Thomas does is stab him in the back of his neck. So again, we automatically all understand just how devastating that is on a physiological level. I mean, stabbing somebody in the neck with a big knife, it is going to cause the most horrific of injuries, and it's going to likely result in death. Now, you can imagine for Will, this is completely out of the blue. He's now in panic, horror, fear, terror. He's bleeding profusely, but he manages to run from his attacker down the stairs. At this point, Thomas just follows him. He pursues him. And he constantly is attempting to stab Will as Will is just desperately trying to get away. Then Thomas follows Will into the kitchen. Will, understandably, is thinking to himself, I have to defend myself. And he manages to get a knife and he does cut Thomas's hands with that knife. And that's a defense mechanism. It's as simple as that. He wants to stop the onslaught. But bear in mind, by this point, Will's received some absolutely horrific injuries. So Will, yes, he tries to defend himself, but his main desire is to just get away from Thomas. So he tries to leave the house. He actually goes through the sliding door from the kitchen onto the patio. Now, Thomas still has the flick knife in his hand, and apparently he just calmly and relentlessly follows Will out onto the patio, and then he starts stabbing him with both of the knives repeatedly. Now, as this murderous altercation is playing out, an individual who is passing the house actually hears what they described as horrific screams and cries for help. Then there's another passerby who sees Will just lying on the patio. They said they saw him in this large pool of blood and he was barely able to lift himself onto all fours. So fortunately, at this point, the emergency services are alerted by a witness. This is at 11:24 a.m. and unbelievably, when you consider the injuries that Will's actually experienced, he actually makes it to the bottom of the stairs, which leads up to the carport before he actually collapses completely. Now, all that plays out in just 7 minutes. Just 7 minutes. In just 7 minutes, Will has been gravely wounded. And Thomas has just gone ahead and carried out this totally unprovoked, persistent attack, not just on his housemate, but on his friend, on his best friend. Now, at this point, after Thomas has done the damage, he runs to his grandmother. His grandmother knows none of this. She's been sitting waiting for him in the car. She's completely oblivious to the slaughter inside the house and the absolute devastation that her grandson's been inflicting. She's actually been on the phone. So she was really startled when Thomas begins banging on the car window because, yes, she's seen his jumpy, he's exhausted, he's been talking about some of his mental health concerns, but there was absolutely no way she could have imagined that what had played out had played out. Now, her surprise when he's knocking on that door window is quickly replaced by horror when she realises he's literally covered in blood and Thomas is screaming and saying, I think he's dead. And at this point, he says to her, I acted in self-defense. And let's be real, in that moment, you're going to think, oh my God, Will has attacked Thomas because Thomas is suggesting that he is the victim here. Now, Sharon runs out and at this point, she provides CPR. And Thomas, at this point, uses his grandma's phone to call an ambulance. She tells him, get in touch with emergency services. This is at 11:32 a.m. Now, when Thomas is asked if the patient was breathing, Thomas responded, no.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
He's not. He's dead. So even though to some degree there is a psychological decline and some kind of break potentially psychotically here, he's also aware of actually what's playing out because he's saying, no, he's dead. And in fact, obviously, we know Will has been absolutely mortally wounded. Now, it only takes the police and ambulance less than 5 minutes to arrive, so they get there really, really quickly. And unfortunately, not long after that, so at 10 minutes past 12, Will sadly pronounced dead. Bear in mind, he was just 23 years of age at this point. It's one of those scenarios that is really horrible to imagine because this guy was so full of potential, so full of hope, so full of future. And the way he's been murdered by somebody that he trusted more than anybody, it is just deplorable on every level. When they examined his body, he had 37 stab wounds. That was to his neck, his head, his chest, his back. And unfortunately, he had bled to death. Also, when they examined how many stab wounds were around his neck, there were 16. He also had sharp force injuries in there. And at this point, Thomas is understandably told that he's now under arrest on suspicion of murder. And how else could it have played out? It was an unprovoked, unsolicited attack. It was done in a short period of time. It was clearly planned and premeditated. We know that from the searches that he made. So this is a case that basically is very much open and shut where the courts are concerned.
So the time is 12:10, right? I'm now further arresting you on suspicion of murder, okay? So you remain under caution, so you do not have to say anything. They may harm you to defence if you don't mention when questioned. Some could you leave the round in court, anything you do say may be in evidence, okay? Then the necessities remain the same for a prompt effective investigation to prevent any further injuries, okay? Do you understand? Right.
Now, Thomas's grandmother, Sharon, she ends up getting interviewed by the police and she has to go through recounting just the most horrific events. She said that when she found Will, she genuinely thought he was still alive because his eyes were open. She said, I prayed he was going to be okay and I did not stop doing CPR. She said he was in such a state, screaming. I handed the phone to Dylan and said, phone the police, phone the ambulance. It felt like an age before I heard the sirens. She was sobbing during this interview. She said that she should never have taken her grandson to the house. She said, I never in a million years envisaged anything like that with Dylan because he's such a quiet, reserved boy. Isn't it devastating that this grandma, who obviously was just trying to help her grandson, feels the weight and the guilt of what played out when it has absolutely nothing to do with her? There's no way she could have predicted that this was going to be the outcome. But this is what typical well-adjusted human beings with compassion in their hearts feel. They feel somehow that they have a responsibility because they couldn't see the future. Now, the officer who was carrying out that interview, they did attempt to comfort her. They reassured her that she shouldn't blame herself. And whilst it may be true that if he hadn't been driven to the house, the murder would not have occurred at that particular moment, the truth is, it would have been likely he'd have carried out an attack at another time. She wasn't the vessel that created that opportunity. She was merely doing what she needed to do to get him so that he could look after his dog. And that's so upsetting, isn't it, that she has to live with that guilt. Also, we know that Dylan Thomas wasn't receiving any support for his spiralling mental health. And it seems that it was unfortunately because of this always going to end in disaster unless somebody intervened. And the idea that she feels responsible is so sad. She could never have imagined that he'd have done something like that. He had no violent history and she wasn't aware that he had any ill intent towards his closest friend. Now we get to the trial. This happens in November 2024. At this point, Thomas pleaded not guilty to murder, but he did admit to manslaughter on the basis of diminished responsibility. Now, this means that he did not stand by his false argument that he had acted in self-defense. So essentially, he didn't say, like he said initially to his grandma, oh, actually, it's Will that attacked me. He allowed the reality to play out in court that he had indeed killed his friend, but that he killed him because he wasn't in charge of his faculties at that time. Now, he didn't actually end up giving evidence at his trial because he did have poor mental health at that period, so he couldn't actually be cross-examined and questioned, and to some degree, he couldn't tell his own story. Now, the prosecutor, Greg Ball, he said that Thomas's feelings towards his housemate had basically changed because Will was having this amazingly flourishing relationship with a lovely girlfriend, Ella. So he said, in short, Mr. Thomas relied heavily on his friendship and the time spent with Mr. Bush. The dynamics of the relationship between the two men were changing in the period leading up to Christmas 2023. Firstly, Mr. Bush was spending more and more of his time with Ella, with whom his relationship was blossoming. Mr. Bush and Ella had decided to seek a home of their own in the new year. So basically saying that the motivation is jealousy, envy, feeling that he's losing Will and wanting to prevent that occurring, where Will goes off and has his new life with his girlfriend and lives happily ever after when he's dealing with all of this loneliness and depression. So he's saying that's the motivation. Now the defense say, no, that's not what's happening. He had been suffering from mental health problems and these are a huge contributing factor in the murder. So the court heard that Thomas's deteriorating mental health and his increasingly erratic behaviour had played out because we know about the Buckingham Palace situation. We know that the fact he was trying to scale the fence of Buckingham Palace was completely left field and not in context with the well-adjusted human being psychology. And they also brought into court the fact that Thomas believed he had the ability to harness gravity. He'd apparently written to Elon Musk telling him that once you solve gravity, you can solve everything else. Also, he'd reportedly hallucinated in the past, in which Will had apparently threatened during this hallucination to drink his spinal fluid. So he's saying that at some point he'd seen Will as this antagonist who was threatening him. And even though that wasn't real, it was a hallucination, that delusion had played out and stuck in his psychology. And also the court heard that after the murder, Will's girlfriend Ella had actually told police about an incident where Thomas had entered Will's room and said, "I thought and wondered about killing you." After which she said Will was pretty scared. He'd barricaded his door whilst he slept because he wanted to prevent Thomas getting in. And listen, if a friend of yours who was completely typical and well-adjusted came in and said, "I've thought about killing you," you'd probably have a good laugh about it. You'd be like, "Oh, another one of your stupid pranks," because you're looking at their behaviour as a whole and thinking to yourself, "That's absolute BS. They're just joking." Or you're going to genuinely be thinking to yourself, "This isn't my friend at all. I don't like them. I'm going to get out." You're not going to be somewhere in between, but that's where Will is. He's somewhere in between. And that suggests to me that Thomas's behaviour was declining and Will was noticing it, but he cared for Thomas. He was friends with Thomas. He believed the best in Thomas, but he also thought there was a side to him that was experiencing and enduring some problems, which is why, even though he's not taking him fully seriously, as in he decides that he's not going to leave at that moment in time to protect himself, he still barricades himself in the room. So he's taking it seriously enough to actually consider that there could be some truth behind that threat. Also, Ella said that Thomas had at that point tried to get in, but he hadn't been able to. And she said, you know, unsurprisingly, she wanted her boyfriend to move out. So she was obviously taking some of these threats very seriously. And it's so sad because, again, what does that say about Will's good nature? It says that he doesn't want to believe that his friend is capable of the horrors that actually play out because he believes the best in Dylan Thomas, not the worst. Now, Dr. Panchu Xavier was the forensic psychiatrist who interviewed Dylan Thomas to see where his conclusions were about whether he was mentally fit or unfit. In his conclusions, he said, "My view is very clear in my report that he was psychotic before, and I have no doubt that he has schizophrenia." Now, schizophrenia is something that often develops in the early 20s. Often young men are more prone to schizophrenia. And when we talk about schizophrenia, we're talking about a mental health condition that is far-reaching and lifelong. We're talking about a particular mind that can often lose connection with reality. And whilst it can be managed, it can be incredibly challenging for people until it's recognized that they have that particular.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl. It's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl. Happy Friday. It's Jen. Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts. Like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Particular disorder to actually live life in a way that makes them feel safe, makes them feel connected, makes them feel that they have foundations, because everything is just so dysfunctional in their brain at times that the world around them is full of paranoia and fear. So it's a really difficult condition to deal with, and you really do need help managing that condition if you are somebody who actually is given that diagnosis. Now, Dr. Xavier said that as far as he was concerned, Thomas's mental illness had a substantial impact on his actions and also played a significant role in the killing of his supposed friend. However, although the prosecution do accept that Thomas was in fact suffering from psychosis, they actually disagreed with the extent to which it influenced his actions and contributed to the eventual murder. They argue that, hey, listen, this guy showed clear thinking. There was an element of planning for the murder. We can see that because of the searches about neck anatomy. So they're kind of looking at those searches and saying, look, he was specifically searching neck anatomy. Also, he told police that he'd acted in self-defense. So they said this is using rational thinking in order to fabricate a story with the basic intention of possibly creating mitigation circumstances for the murder. And then another psychiatrist, Dr. Dilem Jayawikrama, they said that the abnormality of Thomas's mental function had not completely affected Mr. Thomas's full understanding of his actions. So this forensic psychiatrist claimed that despite his affliction, Thomas still retained control of his conduct and self-control was not affected. So basically, Dr. Jayawikrama didn't believe that the four criteria which established whether someone has diminished responsibility were met. So just to run those through for you, the four criteria to determine diminished responsibility are: one, abnormality of mental functioning. So the question is, was his state of mind abnormal at the time of the crime? Two, recognised medical condition. So was the abnormal functioning caused by a recognised condition that is medical in nature? So, for example, not due to drugs or alcohol. And also, can that be supported by an expert witness? Three is substantial impairment. So that means, does the abnormality substantially impair his mind in one of three ways? First is to understand the nature of his actions. The second is to form rational judgment. And the third is to exercise self-control. And four is, did it provide an explanation for the conduct? So did the abnormality of mental functioning cause him to murder, or was it a significant factor in causing him to kill? Now, although Dr. Xavier believed all four criteria were met, Dr. Jayawikrama only believed that the first two were met. So he considered that in Thomas's case, the last two factors did not hold up. And it's an interesting one, and a lot of you will be having your own feelings and thoughts about this. I would say, as somebody who has nursed a psychotic individual for a year, so somebody who's constantly breaking and breaching with reality, when my father was going through those periods, he certainly could control elements of his behaviour. So even when he was desperately scared, terrified that people were coming for him, believing that my mother was trying to defraud him of the home and his pension and all those kind of delusions and psychosis facts that play into that kind of mindset, he could absolutely refrain from, for example, hurting us. So I do understand why that conclusion is reached, because even though my dad was completely out of his mind on one level, he was still in control on another. And the argument here is, yes, Dylan Thomas was totally out of his mind on one level, but on the other level, he was planning, he was searching, and he was going through with those plans and completing what he'd set out to do. And that meant that not all four of those criteria were actually met. And also, I do have some compassion for Dylan Thomas's family, who probably think that it's unfair that he didn't meet those criteria. I really do, because I think that if I was the mother, I'd be thinking he was acting completely outside the realms of normal. This wasn't endemic or typical of his behaviour in the past. So for them, it will probably make absolute sense that he was not in control of himself. And also, that's where the law is more black and white. It really doesn't have any emotional nuances. Now, when it came down to the verdict, Dylan Thomas was found guilty. The jury did not consider the defence of diminished responsibility to be applicable, and they obviously believed the assessment of Dr. Jayawikrama over that of Dr. Xavier. It actually only took the jurors 3 hours to make the decision, so that's quick. They were very compelled, clearly, by the arguments of the prosecution and certainly by the prosecution's expert witnesses. We get to January the 24th, 2025. At this point, Dylan Thomas's sentencing took place. He actually only attended the hearing via video link from Ashworth Hospital in Liverpool. This is where it's a very secure unit. It's obviously for criminal individuals, and it is dedicated to trying to help those who are struggling with their mental health, as well as enabling them to serve a sentence. Now, this is where he'd been receiving treatment as well for schizophrenia and psychosis. So he's actually under their care, and he clearly is being managed as somebody with a very serious mental health condition. And we know that he was admitted there in March 2024. Now, when it came down to the sentencing, he was sentenced to life in prison with a minimum term of 19 years. The judge, Mrs. Justice Steen, she said, "The sentence I will pass is not intended as a measure of the value of Will's life. That is beyond measure. Nor can it begin to put right what you have done. This is not possible. It cannot be undone. Will was a talented young man with such a bright future ahead of him. He did well at school and at university. He was a passionate sportsman and gifted golfer who played for his country. And he and Ella were planning for a future together. You took a son away from his mother and father. You bereaved the woman he loved, with whom he was planning his future. He deprived his sister and brother of their younger brother. The taking of a life is a terrible thing, not only because of the life which is cruelly cut short, but because of all the other lives which are badly damaged as well. But with that in mind, yes, those sentencing remarks are entirely true. We know that the ramifications of murder affect so many people. But like his father...
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Said, Will is the main victim here. He was only 23, senselessly murdered, deprived of many, many decades of happy and fulfilling life. Imagine all the things he will miss. You know, it's plain to all of us that for Will's family, for Ella, their lives are never going to be the same again. They're going to be haunted daily by the horror, by the fear, by the suffering that Will must have endured in those final moments. They've been left with a massive hole in their family and a darkness in their lives, and a darkness that I hope just doesn't consume them completely. Now, Judge Steen came to the conclusion of that sentence when she considered both the aggravating and mitigating circumstances. And she commented basically that the extremely violent and also the persistent nature of the attack and the suffering that was inflicted on Will, that they were really seriously aggravating factors. She said, he could be heard to scream and cry for help, and he plainly struggled to fend off your brutal assault. I am sure that you intended to kill Mr. Bush. She went on to say the extent of his injuries and the way in which you calmly and deliberately continued your assault after he had fled and collapsed on the patio demonstrated your unequivocal intention to kill Mr. Bush. Now, Judge Steen did accept that at the time of the attack, Thomas was suffering from schizophrenia. She said, I am satisfied that as a result of your schizophrenia, your ability to form a rational judgment was impaired, albeit not to the substantial level required to establish the defence of diminished responsibility, which has the effect of lowering your degree of culpability. So, of course, that means that his mental health was considered a mitigating factor, but not to the extent to mean the jury agreed with his claim of manslaughter over murder. She also accepted that there were missed opportunities to refer Thomas to a psychiatrist before the murder, because obviously his behaviour had been growing increasingly erratic, but she actually didn't consider that to be a mitigating factor. Now, what the judge didn't accept was that significant planning went into the murder. So she did not consider the lack of premeditation as a mitigating factor. She didn't say, oh, there wasn't a lot of planning, so we're going to give him that. Actually, she saw it as kind of a balance, so rather it wasn't considered to be an aggravating factor in the offence. I mean, I have to tell you, initially when I started the research, I did think that the murder sounded like it had got planning and premeditation in it. But actually, after listening to the judge who commented about the searches of veins on his internet history, they said, listen, this could be consistent with Thomas's suicidal thoughts. She also felt that the frenzied attack that had been carried out in broad daylight and also without an escape strategy meant that whatever the planning was, it certainly didn't constitute a careful, well thought out plan. And that does actually make sense on reflection. Now, one of the things I would say is that Thomas did show very little remorse for his actions. And because of that, the judge said that she was not satisfied. He felt any genuine remorse for his actions. So this could also not be considered as a mitigating factor. It's really important that people who carry out really horrible crimes show that they have some accountability and responsibility, that they take it seriously, the impact that they've had. And if somebody isn't doing that, well, you're going to be a threat. Because if you can't actually understand the impact of your actions, then of course you can carry out those actions again. Now, this is all about Will, really, isn't it? And I want to talk a minute about the tributes that Will had paid. His sister, Katrin, said he was such a loyal, funny and caring person. He lit up every room he walked into with his cheeky grin and with his quick-witted humour. His lovely girlfriend, who was going to share his future with Ella, she said, "To lose the person that you love in such a horrific way has left an indescribable pain." Will was petrified of dying, and to know he was alone and died of such horrendous injuries is heartbreaking. We had planned a life together, including marriage and children. The chance to be happy together has been taken from us, including the chance to be parents and grandparents. Will was the love of my life. He meant everything to me. He was incredibly kind and funny. He would literally light up every room he went into and put a smile on everyone's face. He loved his family dearly. Will was an exceptionally talented man, a golfer who played for his country. He was waiting to join a golf club near Cardiff. He was a big football fan. He played as well. He was a big supporter of Arsenal. He also liked to watch Cardiff City. So you can just hear in that loss, the gravity, the fact that Ella's thinking about the children that she'll never have with him, the grandchildren that she'll never have with him, the picture of the future that they planned together just disintegrated in 7 minutes. Will's father, John, said, "We will try to find memories that sustain us and keep him alive. His being and spirit keep him alive in us. His sense of justice, his sense of humour, and above all, his capacity to love." Imagine all the things you'd have missed had you died at 23. Marriage, family. You know, that is just so powerful and poignant, isn't it? It's so true. When people are stolen from this world in such gratuitous ways, they're stealing more than just the life. They're stealing what that life would have represented 4 decades down the road, 5 decades down the road. Who would have known and could say what Will's life would have amounted to? Because it sounds like he was a picture-perfect human being. He was loved by everyone, and he loved so freely those people in his lives that he respected and cared for, and that's all been denied. It's really unsurprising to me to find out there were 800 people at Brecon Cathedral for Will's funeral, and apparently, as a family, they received over 1,000 messages of support. His father said his life mattered. God bless you, Will. It's just absolutely breathtakingly awful to imagine losing a child, isn't it? To imagine not seeing their face every single day for the rest of your lives because it's been stolen from you. To not see their accomplishments, to watch them thrive and grow, to not be there for them in their painful times. You know, all of that is denied. And I can really feel that coming through the words of Will's family and loved ones. Now, Detective Constable Joanne Harris, who worked on the case, said, "William Bush was a much-loved son, brother and boyfriend with a bright future ahead of him, which included moving in with his girlfriend and starting a new job. On the 24th of December 2023, as he looked forward to spending Christmas with his family and girlfriend..."
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
"I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse."
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
"Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me."
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And he was killed by someone he regarded as a friend, having done absolutely nothing to warrant the brutal violence inflicted upon him. Our thoughts during sentencing today, as they have been throughout the investigation, are with William, his family and girlfriend. Whilst we recognise that Dylan Thomas' sentence of life in prison with a minimum of 19 years imprisonment won't bring William back, we do hope that this outcome goes some way to allowing his family to grieve and help in some way with their heartbreak. Will's family actually made a statement which was posted on the South Wales Police website, and it read this. Dylan Thomas is an evil, manipulative liar. Throughout this process, we have seen no evidence or any remorse of taking responsibility for his actions that day. We can only hope that he will never be released back into the community. So that shows you the kind of feeling that the family have. Even though he had some mental health issues, they absolutely cannot connect that that is any excuse for absolutely destroying their lovely Will. And like I said, I completely comprehend and understand and empathise with that point of view and position. When it comes down to this case, it's conflicting because, of course, it raises some really serious questions about the intersection of mental health and criminal responsibility, and also, of course, the need for far better mental health care in the UK, especially for those who might be at risk of harming others during a psychotic episode. Dylan's actions are absolutely unforgivable. That goes without saying, but you can't avoid the profound impact that untreated mental illness can have on an individual's capacity and capability of rational thought and control. The truth is, the only victim in this case really is Will, and of course those who love Will. It's left a hole in the hearts of everybody who knew him, and this was a young man at the very beginning of his life with so many hopes and dreams, and they were ripped away. And that is just the most unforgivable situation for any family to have to come to terms with. I don't know whether Dylan Thomas will ever get out of prison. I don't know whether Dylan Thomas will ever be safe to walk the streets, because the problem is that with certain mental health conditions, when you have expressed that when dealing with them, you can end up murderous, it can be a deeply problematic thing to manage in our community. And it could be that even though he's got a minimum of 19 years, he may never be deemed safe to walk the streets again. And lots of people will feel, well, his actions make him entitled to that reality. I'd love to know your thoughts in the comments. I know that a lot of you have been in touch with your own mental health struggles. As you know, we all know that mental health conditions do not make murderers. There is something within that human being that is fractured, that is delusional to a point where they believe they have entitlement to steal life, and that is incredibly rare.
That's it for Bang to Rights today. Join me for the next episode. See you then. Be safe.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.